Well, it's great to be with you this evening. So the passage we're looking at is Acts chapter 5, verses 1 to 11. So if you've got a Bible, although it'll be up behind us, I'd recommend opening it. I think it's 1197 in the Bibles. Acts chapter 5, verses 1 to 11. Now, a man named Ananias, together with his wife Sapphira, also sold a piece of property. With his wife's full knowledge, he kept back part of the money for himself, but brought the rest and put it at the apostles' feet. Then Peter said, "Ananias, how is it that Satan has so filled your heart that you have lied to the Holy Spirit and have kept for yourself some of the money you received for the land? Didn't it belong to you before it was sold? And after it was sold, wasn't the money at your disposal? What made you think of doing such a thing? You have not lied just to human beings, but to God." When Ananias heard this, he fell down and died. And great fear seized all who heard what had happened. Then some young men came forward, wrapped up his body, and carried him out and buried him. About 3 hours later, his wife came in, not knowing what had happened. Peter asked her, "Tell me, is this the price you and Ananias got for the land?" "Yes," she said, "that is the price." Peter said to her, "How could you conspire to test the Spirit of the Lord? Listen, the feet of the men who buried your husband are at the door, and they will carry you out also." At that moment, she fell down at his feet and died. Then the young men came in and, finding her dead, carried her out and buried her beside her husband. Great fear seized the whole church and all who heard about these events. At this point, I'm quite tempted to ask for a collection and perhaps start talking about the building fund and the church's financial needs. But I'm not going to do that. But what a terrifying passage. What a terrifying passage. And, you know, I'm somewhat, I was very tested by just praying and preparing about this passage and just thinking, what is it? What is the kind of main message of the passage? And I think when you read it and you haven't read it for a while, the sort of things that spring to my mind are, well, it's a message about judgment, isn't it? You know, this guy, I mean, just so think of the story, you know, so there was, and perhaps we should recap the last couple of weeks. I think 2 weeks ago you heard, it's worth setting the context, I think 2 weeks ago you heard Aaron talk about the healing of the beggar. So outside the beautiful gate, and then a week later, I think Jenny spoke about really the church preaching the gospel with power, Peter and John preaching with power, seeing people saved, being threatened, and still bringing a message of faith. But then we have this extraordinary passage of suddenly a couple of people in that context, a couple of members of the church, when everybody else is basically selling everything they have so that all the members of the church, so that there's no need amongst them, two of these people, a husband and wife, conspire together and say, yes, we've sold it, but they keep back half for themselves, half the value of their home. In the scheme of things, you know, they had a house, they sold the house, they kept back half for themselves, but they gave half of it to the church. But for lying about that, first of all, the husband, Ananias, and then the wife are struck down dead. So, you know, what do you think that passage is about? These are always, you know, stories like this, they're always in there for, normally for one, there's one thing God will want you to get out of that. Often there are others, but I would stick with the, what do you think the one thing is? Now, you know, I tend to think, you know, initially when you read it, it's judgment. You know, is it about judgment that God is a judge? Is it that God is holy? You know, and, you know, holiness cannot mix with sin. And clearly there is sin here, premeditated sin by Ananias and Sapphira. They plan to lie, and they lie. So is that, you know, the main story, the main point of this story? Are Ananias and Sapphira in heaven? Do you think Ananias and Sapphira are in heaven? Don't call out answers on that, but just, you know, reflect on, do we think they knew Jesus? Do you think they end up in heaven? You know, let's take a look in a little bit more depth. Well, I'm going to tell you a little story. Of my own. A friend of mine, I'm going to change his name for the purpose of this story. I'll call him Arthur. It had a big impact on me and my life. Very strong Christian man. Really strong Christian man. Fell in love, besotted with a particular woman, chased her down. She would have nothing to do with him, absolutely nothing to do with him. And to the extent that we all said, give it up, it isn't happening. I mean, you know, because this went on for quite some time. But sometimes, this is, don't read too much into this, you blokes out there chasing down some woman. But sometimes, in this particular case, despite us all saying it's never going to happen, Arthur was successful and won over this woman, and they got married. A few years later, Arthur has an affair with another woman, and it's quite known, and his wife finds out he's having the affair. The church knows he's having the affair. Now, at this time, Arthur is still strong in the faith. I say he had a bit of impact on me, because he had a tremendous heart for the poor. He was sold out for Jesus. Okay, but, and he knew what he was doing was wrong. And somebody in his church, true story, somebody in his church says, you need to stop what you're doing or God is going to take your life. And God took his life. He had an accident and he was killed. Now, you know, in that story, I'll return to that story in a minute, you know, at the end, what is going on? And that's a real life event of a strong, committed Christian who pursued somebody and then got them. And somebody had a word of knowledge in the church saying, what you're doing is wrong. And if you don't repent and change, God's going to take your life. And, you know, he had a horrendous accident and was killed within a few months. So I'll return to that in a minute, but I think there's one point. I think the key verse in this passage is verse 3, where Peter challenges Ananias and says, how is it that Satan has so filled your heart? How is it that Satan has so filled your heart? And I think what we see here is a contrast between Satan filling your heart here and the previous part of Acts, okay, where we've seen the consequences of the Holy Spirit filling somebody's heart. And there is a really strong contrast between what happens when each of those things happen. So for the previous two chapters, the stories we've seen about the beggar being healed, about Peter and John preaching boldly, that's all the consequences of when the Holy Spirit fills our heart. And I want to just pull out a few of the characteristics of that. So the first one, consequences of when the Holy Spirit fills us, boldness and courage. Peter and John prayed, verse 29 of the previous chapter, now, Lord, consider their threats and enable your servants to speak your word with great boldness. So Peter and John were threatened by those in authority and told, stop preaching this word. But they were bold because they were full of the Holy Spirit and they just didn't care. And they carried on doing it. Second one, unity, verse 32 of the previous one. All the believers were one in heart and mind. They were all filled with the same Holy Spirit. A mark of Spirit-filled community is unity. So they were all together. Generosity, we just saw, you know, they sold everything they had, held everything together in common. Again, verses 32 to 34 of the previous chapter. No one claimed that any of their possessions was their own, but they shared everything they had. There were no needy persons among them. Fourth characteristic of being filled with the Holy Spirit, power. Verse 33 of the previous bit. With great power, the apostles continued to testify to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. Fifth characteristic, transformation. I love verse 13 of the previous passage where the passage describes Peter and John as unschooled, ordinary men. You know, there was nothing about them to mean they should be great leaders, but my word, they had a tremendous effect, so they were transformed by the Holy Spirit. So that's where we're coming from. They were filled by the Holy Spirit, and as a consequence, they were transformed, they were bold, they acted in unity, they were generous, and they were powerful. But this verse 3 of the passage we're now looking at says that Satan has so filled Ananias' heart. And what are the consequences of that? Well, the first thing that we should look at is it's not, although arguably they held back half of their property, this isn't about their lack of generosity. I don't think they're judged. I don't think they're struck down for not being generous. Okay, they were, the verse 4 says, describes how the property belonged to them already. After it was sold, you had the money. The implication is, this was yours in the first place. Why did you need to lie about it? So they're not struck down because of a lack of generosity. Okay, so, but there is some implication here that perhaps they weren't as generous as they could have been. So if we're looking at, how generous people were when filled with the Holy Spirit, perhaps that did affect them a bit, but I don't think that's the key point of the passage. I think the main effect is it causes Ananias and Sapphira to put up a mask, to pretend they're something they aren't. And I think there is a risk in church when you become a Christian that you want to look a certain way. And there they were in the church, and people are giving stuff away. They're seeing people healed. They're boldly declaring the name of Jesus. And they want to be giving stuff away, seeing people healed, boldly declaring the name of Jesus. But also, actually, they want to hold a little bit of it back. So they want to appear they're doing everything, that they've got that they're the perfect Christians, just like all the other people that are around them. But actually, they're holding something back. But they don't want people to see that. So the first consequence, the first thing to be careful of, when you start thinking, well, I want to look right, I don't want people to see how I am. That's the devil at work. I don't want other people to see exactly my brokenness, my character, my history. And the trouble is, if you wear a mask, people can't see who you really are. And you can't relate to other people because they won't really know you. So Ananias and Sapphira put up a mask that they want people to think they're generous and giving everything away, just like everybody else. But in reality, they aren't. So that's the first thing. Interesting, there's elsewhere in the New Testament, there's a Hebrew word, a Greek word used to mean sincere love. And sincere love means love without a mask. So if you want sincere love, you've got to remove the mask so that you really can love and be loved. So that's the first consequence of being filled by Satan, is that their hearts being filled by Satan is that they look to hide behind a mask. The second is, the sin of lying. And, in this case, premeditated sin. And I think that is the crucial fact about the crucial thing Ananias and Sapphira do that's wrong. It's not a kind of, just something that happens. Somebody says something, you want to look good, and you say, so big night last night? Oh, yeah, it was a big night. Drink too much? No, I never drink too much. It wasn't a kind of careful throwaway just trying to. This was, the passage is very clear. They were going to sell their property and they planned in advance. We're going to tell them we gave. And of course, Ananias, Sapphira is really caught by this, isn't she? Because she comes in and she sticks to the story. I think it is rather odd that she didn't know her husband had died 3 hours before, but that's a different part of the story that somehow she didn't realize. But clearly they've planned to say that they've sold the property and that they got a certain price, and that that was the full price, whereas actually it looks, you know, they got double that, they keep half of it for themselves. So the real sin was planning to do something wrong. And the thing about sin, I think the way the devil fills our heart around sin, one of the lies he'll tell you is that sin is personal. You know, it's just me. So that when you do something wrong, it just has an impact on me. Or sin is private. You know, so some of the, you know, pornography is an example of sin that is private. You think it doesn't hurt anybody. I've met with far too many people where the impact of something like pornography is much greater on people around them. You know, if you've got a partner and you confess to pornography, look at the impact that has on that partner. Okay, so sin is never private. And that's the lie that that Ananias and Sapphira think here. And Peter says to them, you've lied to the Holy Spirit. So it's not just that it affects you individually. And often sin does have a bad impact on the individual. But it cuts you off from God. So he says, you've lied to the Holy Spirit. And there's an implication that it affects the church as well. You know, that it hurts the church. So it's a sin against Peter, it's a sin against the church. That's the consequence of that. It's not just private. Overall, just contrast the previous passage, the rest of the passage we looked at, being filled with the Holy Spirit. You know, consequence of that was boldness, unity, generosity, and power, and transformation. Being filled, you know, his heart filled by Satan, hides behind a mask, and is then, you know, sinning, and that's affecting him and affecting his relationship with Peter and with the church. And actually the consequence of that is you lose that boldness, you lose the unity, you lose the generosity and the power and the transformation. I've been challenged recently by the Lord, kind of on my mind when I'm walking around, is, am I about my Father's business? You know, that's what I think God wants, people who are about his business. When you're out and about in Peckham doing your job, are you doing what your Father wants you to be doing? And sin here, premeditated sin, takes you off that path of being about your Father's business. So it's never private. It means that what God had wanted you to do, you're diverted off that path to doing something else. And whatever God wanted you to do, therefore the benefits of that, the outworking of that, aren't seen. So it distracts you and takes you away from being about your Father's business. So now I want to look. So those are contrasting, you know, filled with the Holy Spirit, filled with your heart filled by Satan. I want to look at what the outcome of all of this was for Ananias and Sapphira. And, you know, return also to the story of my friend. A few things we know about the character of God, okay, that I think do need to affect the way you interpret what's happened here. I'll stick to it. From the passage, are Ananias and Sapphira in heaven? I asked that question a little bit earlier. Do we think Ananias and Sapphira end up in heaven? Well, verse 3 says they knew the Holy Spirit. Okay, so I do believe when God's begun a good work in you, he's faithful to complete it. Hebrews 12 talks about God disciplines those he loves. So now, various commentaries, you know, there are some people who don't agree with this, so I should say some people think, you know, people interpret this as actually Ananias and Sapphira are struck down for sin and they've sinned against the Holy Spirit. I think if you know the Holy Spirit, you know God. He who's begun a good work in you will be faithful to complete it. My understanding, the way I interpreted what happened to my friend, was that he was heading down a path that was both hurting his family tremendously, and it was premeditated sin. And personally, I think it was he was not going to turn that around. And ultimately, he may have walked away from his faith. And personally, I think God took his life for that in order that that might not happen. Because that is true grace and forgiveness. Okay, so we have to think about what do we know about what God's like. And God is in the saving business and the rescuing business. That's what God's like. So I know you can read this passage and think it's all about judgment and penalty and punishment. But actually, we know we serve a God who loves and forgives and saves. So in this passage, to me, it seems Ananias and Sapphira, they sinned deliberately through negligence, through weakness, through their own deliberate fault. And I don't know where that was taking them, but God looked on and said, no more, and took them away. But God saves. That's what he does. He rescues. He is in the rescuing business. So grace, you know, this is actually a story of grace and forgiveness and salvation for Ananias and Sapphira, not a story of punishment and how horrible sin is. God wants to set you free from sin. He won't let you wallow in it. And ultimately, to do that, it may cost you your life. Because once he's got you, we sang some songs. I mean, we sang one song earlier. I wrote the words down. Goodness and mercy will always follow. We should think about what we sing sometimes. Goodness and mercy will always follow. Well, how did goodness and mercy always follow Ananias and Sapphira? I'll tell you how it followed them. He knew them, and he knew which way they were going, and he said, I'll take you now, because that way I still get you. And that's what I think he did with my friend. Now, I've got to say, I'm just one man. I do want you to think for yourselves. I'm not claiming I'm some great theological, this is a really difficult passage. So I want you to reflect on it, and God will judge me for how I interpret this. But I do think we serve a saving God who rescues, a forgiving God. Other consequences here it's worth pointing out. We also serve a God who's in the rescue business. He's in the leadership business. So look at what he does with Peter. He raises Peter up and gives him wisdom. And at this point, you know, through this, Peter has a word of knowledge, speaks into Ananias' and Sapphira's life, and people, you know, his leadership grows dramatically, doesn't it? He's also in the church building business. Look at the impact on the church. The church is in awe at the end of the passage. It says verse 11, great fear seized the whole church. Respect and the fear for God is restored. You know, so those are great other outcomes from the passage. So, you know, I think there are some surprising takeaways from this. Even believers can have their hearts filled by Satan. Even believers can have their hearts filled by Satan. God sees our hearts, so he knows what's going on. God cares about the purity of his church. But in all of that, he won't give up on you. He's in the rescuing business. He's in the saving business. So he will always protect you, even if it costs you your earthly life, because he's into rescuing your eternal life. So some responses as I wrap up, I'd just like you to reflect on, you know, as we continue in worship. Firstly, the benefits of being about our Father's business. To be about our Father's business, you want to be filled with the Holy Spirit. If you want to be powerful, if you want to be generous, if you want to be in unity with the church, be full of the Holy Spirit. So, you know, during our time of worship, always keep on asking God to fill you with the Holy Spirit. I'm going to state something really obvious here, but just because it's obvious, I want you to take it seriously. You know, I don't want you not to take it seriously. Ananias and Sapphira were planning to do something wrong that they knew was wrong, and they were mature Christians. If you are a mature Christian, you know you're doing something wrong, and you still plan to do it wrong, repent. Repent, because this passage is all about how seriously God takes that. Don't do it. God loves you. He is in the rescuing business. He's got a plan. He wants you to be about his business. Pursue him. Do his stuff. Okay? Otherwise, it will wreck your life. If you premeditate sin, if you plan to do sin. So don't. Another one is, wouldn't you love to have the awe and reverence that comes from this passage of seeing what God did? That fills the church. People were in awe of God. And in our generations, he said, looking around at some younger faces than his own, we've lost some of that awe and reverence. So we want to recover that. So pray that God would give you that respect and awe that comes from this passage. And lastly, I said, God's in the saving business. If you don't know that security of salvation, of knowing that Jesus died for you, then during this time, ask him to forgive you. Accept that Jesus died for your sins and be rescued and saved for eternity. Amen.